Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York and author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. We have links to it right up at normalaudiostash.com. Dr. Earlywine is also on Normal's advisory board and joins us every Wednesday here on the Audio Stash. Mitch, welcome back to the program today.
Great to be back.
Well, first I want to ask you today, you know, we did a segment on stress earlier today. So let me ask you, many marijuana smokers say that cannabis reduces their stress. Is that a real effect happening in the body? I mean, does smoking pot actually help with the symptoms of stress?
We do see decreases in people's reported stress when they smoke marijuana in the lab. A lot of folks who say that it decreases stress in their lives, I'd like to have them look at what they're doing while they do it, though. So a lot of folks say, oh, I smoke marijuana, and then I go watch TV, I go play with my kids, I go hang out. And it's almost a way to say, okay, now I'm not doing any more work. And in fact, if they would just not do any more work, their stress might decrease if they gave themselves that time, whether the marijuana was present or not.
So smoking marijuana, for regular pot smokers, this could be perhaps the same trigger that deep breathing and meditation is for others.
Exactly. It's a sort of a marker in your day to say, okay, from here on out, I'm done with the exercise and work part, and I'm into the enjoyment part. And I feel like marijuana certainly enhances that, but it's not the only way to get to that kind of reduction in stress.
Now, how about the opposite? Is someone who is, you know, super stressed out and looking for relief by smoking marijuana, you know, could some people make their stress worse?
As it turns out, there's a subset of folks who have a real stressful reaction to marijuana. Their hearts beat very quickly. They feel particularly self-conscious and uncomfortable and things like that. And obviously, they wouldn't want to turn to that. Also, as we've been hearing about with almost any kind of medication or drug, the set and the setting really determine the experience. So if you're in an environment where it's really not a fun place, marijuana is not going to actually make it more fun. It's probably going to make it even more aversive.
Also today, Mitch, let's talk about something a lot of responsible marijuana smokers likely do, and that's combine alcohol with cannabis. Now, we've discussed the effects of these separately, but, you know, what happens in the body when we mix these drugs together inside?
The literature on combinations of drugs is relatively small, but the one thing we do know is that alcohol seems to slow down the THC metabolism. The active ingredients in marijuana end up getting broken down more slowly if there's alcohol in the system. This can lead to a couple of effects that people might not expect. For one, data of my own suggests that people who drink a lot, more than, say, 14 drinks per week, end up being more likely to have marijuana-dependent symptoms if they smoke a lot of marijuana, whereas people who don't drink could smoke the same amount and not end up with those dependent symptoms. The other thing is the actual subjective experience. So it seems like the cannabis high ends up lasting a lot longer if there's alcohol in the system. That seems like perhaps, oh, this would be a wonderful way to keep your marijuana bill down or something like that, but in fact it's not something we know enough about to really rely on. So I caution folks to, you know, keep the alcohol consumption down, particularly if they're using cannabis simultaneously.
You know, anecdotally, I know that marijuana can cause, you know, dry mouth, and alcohol definitely has this dehydrating effect. But there are some rumors out there that combination of pot and alcohol can be dangerously dehydrating.
That does seem to be the case. Metabolizing alcohol and metabolizing cannabis requires a lot of water, and obviously, if you're going to do them both at the same time, you need more water handy. I do feel like the cotton mouth associated with marijuana use does increase with alcohol consumption in a lot of clinical reports, but there aren't any lab data to suggest that.
Now let's look at this from the other standpoint. Someone who only drinks alcohol. You mentioned a moment ago that alcohol can enhance the intoxicating effect of marijuana, but does pot enhance the alcohol effects as well? I mean, do you get more drunk?
It's funny how it's hard to sort of parse out in your mind which intoxication is coming from which drug when you're using both at the same time. And obviously this would vary with different kinds of strains of cannabis, and even different forms of alcohol have different subjective effects. But the bottom line would be let's not combine these drugs until we've got a whole lot of experience with them individually. I think people who've never used cannabis or who use it relatively infrequently would probably prefer to not use it in combination with alcohol or any other medication, including things like Benadryl and cough syrup and anything they might take medicinally and kind of forget about.
Mitch, all of the data out there suggests that the biggest risk marijuana smokers pose to themselves is not with any of the side effects of pot itself, but increased accident risk due to intoxication. And this means car accidents, but it also means falling off a ladder in the yard. And we all know about the current terrible DUI problems with alcohol. But is there any data that using both at the same time is specifically raising one's risk for accident and injury?
As it turns out, that's a new question, and one of my graduate students has just gathered some data to try to address this. Folks who use drugs simultaneously tend to be more sensation-seeking individuals anyway. So these are kind of risk-taking people dispositionally. They have that kind of risk-taking personality anyway. So it's not clear, is it the combination of the drugs that leads to these high risk-taking things, or is it that they're just risk-takers in the first place? And obviously we need to administer, you know, alcohol and cannabis in the laboratory to find that out, but that's not exactly a top priority of a lot of funding agencies right now.
Mitch, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about stress that the setting for smoking cannabis is so important. You know, when we talk about all these scientific studies, it makes me really curious. You know, how is cannabis administered in a lab setting? I mean, do people react differently than, say, the relaxed atmosphere of a, you know, a Dutch coffee shop?
The most ideal lab administrations of cannabis try to make the lab pretty pleasant. They have music going. They have magazines around. There's colorful posters and things like that. Some of the early tests of hallucinogens, for example, were done in these very horrible clinical, you know, everyone running around in a lab coat and asking lots of questions, and they thought, gee, LSD makes you extremely paranoid. This is a horrible drug. Why do people use it? When, in fact, you look at folks who use hallucinogens recreationally, and it ends up in another context to be a very different experience. The case for cannabis is very much the same. Laboratory administration of cannabis is still relatively rare, and so we don't get a great feel for how does it compare to administrations in nice social settings. But, you know, a number of users report it's just much more pleasant in a group of friends listening to nice music and enjoying some delicious food rather than sitting in a lab with white coat people asking you questions.
Now, how about alcohol? When drinks are administered in the lab setting, do you get a different reaction from people, or is drinking alcohol such a common part of daily life that it doesn't matter?
In fact, some of the best alcohol labs in the country, my friend Alan Marlatt at University of Washington, my friend Kim Frommy down at Texas, they have labs that are bars. There's a bar there, there's a nice mirror, there's all the signs, there's music going, and so they really can make it as much like a bar experience as possible. Obviously, it can't be as comfortable as, you know, sitting at home in your comfy jeans and having a couple of beers, but at least those data tend to generalize pretty well to people's experiences outside the lab.
And finally today, Mitch, you know, for those out there who've only experienced alcohol and who've never smoked pot, you know, obviously they're going to want to experiment with marijuana without drinking first. But what is perhaps, you know, the best setting for someone to experience marijuana for the first time?
It's interesting because people ask me this a lot, and I have to always ask, well, why would you want to try it in the first place? And then that should sort of let you know how you want to do it. But ideally, if you're with a couple of friends who are already experienced with cannabis, who are certainly going to enjoy themselves and model for you how to use this appropriately rather than turn it into some kind of bong hit competition, then you're really going to have a great time. And ideally, you get to enjoy their company and any other experiences you guys might have together. It's when people who really don't feel ready, who feel pressured to use it or using it as a result of some kind of expectation that it's going to be magic and create all kinds of wonderful things that it really just couldn't do, those are the ones who are most disappointed and in the end, most unlikely to end up using cannabis again.
Well, Mitch, this has been another fascinating discussion today, and I thank you again very much for letting us ask these questions and sharing your knowledge.
I really enjoy these talks, Chris.
Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York and author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. We have links to it right up at normalaudiostash.com. Dr. Earlywine joins us every Wednesday here on...